Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Everybody's picking Ohio State to win it all now. There's a little bit of recency bias going on with that Ohio State pick and all of that. But, Stephen, who else? To me, it's Ohio State and Notre Dame. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's Ohio State and Notre Dame. I do think there's a little value on Texas plus the points. I did see Circa put up a line of Ohio State to win minus 105, not to win minus 120. I felt like that was like, that's kind of a bet I would like to just say no, Ohio State's not going to win at all, because we've seen 12 games of Ohio State of not great football. We've seen two games of good football.
But they are playing really great. Good football when it counts. Tim Brando, friend of this show, CBS. You have heard and watched Tim Brando call college sports for decades. National sports commentator at Fox Sports, joining us right now on the hotline. Tim, what have you made of the early rounds of the CFP?
First and foremost, I've never seen an event that was as successful, that was, from a media standpoint, thrown into the ditch as much as this event has. I think it's been, for a first year, I think it's been outstanding. I thought, even though the games were lopsided and the opening round, the environments were incredible. They were historic. And yet, the media, and when I say media, I'm going to just absolutely say it, where I started my career, and it was not the 1,200-pound gorilla, 12-million-pound, whatever you want to call it, gorilla that it is today. When I started, we were the little cable that could in the 80s. But, you know, without the 84 Supreme Court ruling, ESPN wouldn't have even had college football when I started in 1985. It was a year removed from the Supreme Court ruling on the Georgia-Oklahoma cases, which got the godforsaken NCAA away from taking the money away from the schools. And now here we are after 40 years of really waiting and hoping that at some point we could grant greater access to find a champion. I have a real hard time understanding why the national media, and I mean all of it, even the rights holder, has such a problem with the success of the access, that more teams have a chance and have availability. This notion that, oh God, it was awful and this is terrible and these teams just shouldn't have been in and other teams should have been and wins don't matter, and this is coming from the people that paid the billions of freight to get the rights to hold it. So that part I just don't understand.
Is it possible that
I just don't understand it at all. But the games themselves, to me, particularly this past week, John, have been outstanding. And both Boise State and Arizona State proved they belonged without question. And as for what happened in the opening week, hey, blowouts happen in college athletics all the time. And particularly when you're the road team, they happen all the time. So why were we, you know, dropping our jaws and saying, oh my God, this is just, we're on death's door. This is as bad as we thought it would be. We need more brand names. We just don't have enough SEC teams in here. My God, I'm from the South. It was disgusting. It was embarrassing. And to see those teams and those schools and their coaches and their ADs and even commissioners tweeting about it made me regurgitate.
Tim Brando, Fox, longtime broadcaster. You saw him years ago on ESPN. The shoulder programming at ESPN has become, banging the drum for the SEC teams, banging the drum for the media partners. They've lost all objectivity.
I'm not going to deny that. And a lot of those guys that are working over there are friends of mine, and I have great, and even the ones that aren't particularly close to me anymore, I respect. I do. But the way they hide it, you know, how can you have day parts of programming when you're a 24-hour sports network? Oh, by the way, that was a big deal when I was there, a 24-hour sports network. Now you got what of a You got like six versions of it. And they're talking about LeBron and Bronny, Aaron Rodgers' latest, kerfuffle with whatever that they found politically incorrect, whether a black man or a white man wins the MVP in the NFL, who gives a damn? You've got a historic event in college football, which is without question by any metric, the second most popular sport in America to only the NFL, and you can hardly get coverage of it unless you go to a network named after a conference that they own. Help me with that. How can that be? How can that possibly be?
I think the media companies are thinking about their bottom line and their partners and promoting their partners and promoting viewership.
Their partners are not doing nearly as well. You want to talk about how few people care or watch the NBA regular season any longer? Shall we go there? I think we can go there.
Let's go.
It's awful. Okay? This just in. You paid how much? You paid such an exorbitant amount of, when you think about it, market value, an insane amount of money to make sure that you have control of it. Then you immediately sublease a couple of games to Turner, who's, begging for anything because they've lost the NBA. But you're able to get them to carry it, even though your production team is going to do it. And you're not even spending time on your own shows that you don't have to pay rights fees for. You own them, right? And you don't even want to talk about it. I mean, that makes no sense. And when you do talk about it, you're slamming the product. You're telling me that the wrong teams are playing. I don't get it. I don't get any of it.
Tim Brando, Fox Sports, with us. The targeting call or the no call in the fourth quarter of the Arizona State-Texas game rankled a lot of people who think, here we go again. Here comes the promotion of a brand name over an outlier. I think that cost Arizona State the game.
It did. It did. It absolutely did. And I did not see one rules expert, not Pereira, not Blandino, not McCauley, not Austin, name the rules guy and name that by any measure, that by rule, that was targeting deluxe. I actually, there were a couple of games this past year where, just to be a contrarian, okay, I caught myself in the middle of saying something really stupid during an Illinois-Minnesota game, and I was criticized for it, and rightfully so. It was a similar play. The kid did not. It was a bang-bang play. The defender was in a bad spot at the wrong time. He didn't really launch necessarily, but he certainly didn't tilt his head or move it in a direction whereby he was going to attack with it, but it was a head-to-head hit. And, I'm having a conversation with Devin Gardner, my partner, and again, we're waiting for Pereira to get loaded up. And then when Mike comes on, I'm thinking to myself, I'm Jane Curtin, and he's Dan Aykroyd, and Jane, you ignorant slut. I found myself, on the wrong side of the conversation just with an observation about the play. Yeah. And that happens sometimes when you have long delays and you're trying to say something that you feel is, relevant to what we're seeing. And that was exactly a play that would be very similar to the one that we witnessed. So the moment I saw it, I'm like, of course that's targeting. That has to be targeting. Now, the return from all of those that are your terminal, Twitter whack jobs, the Looney Tunes that you always get that hate announcers after they've gotten pissed off at their coaches, their quarterbacks, and the referees, they attack us. They're all like, well, what happened to Bond on the earlier play? And what happened here? And, they start bringing out videos because they got nothing else going on in their lives. The timing of that call was, as we like to say in the business, a big-ticket play. It was going to, in all likelihood, Johnny, it was going to help determine the outcome of the game. Whether you call it or you don't call it, it's going to probably predetermine whether a team wins or a team loses. That was not at all the time in the game when that happened earlier. when a safety really did, with his lower body while jumping, hit a Texas receiver, Bond, in the head. So it wasn't at all the same. Okay, this was first down at the 37-yard line with enough time for them to milk the clock and put their kicker in the perfect position to win the game in regulation. That's what the likelihood of that, percentage-wise, was pretty good. We don't know what would have happened, but it was pretty good. And the unwillingness to make that call when all season long, that is targeting. I mean, listen, I'm not saying the fix is in, but if anyone is thinking the fix is in, they have every right to believe that. And that's one of the issues that we have, not just with the way the sport is being governed now. We don't have a true leader for college football. We need a czar. I've been saying it for 30-plus years. The commissioners take care of their constituencies, and yes, they have power. Sankey and Petitti have more than the others, but they all should come together and say, hey, we need someone that we can turn to that will look out for the totality of the sport, not just our neighborhoods, but the totality of the sport. And that's true not only with issues off the field, but on the field. We need to nationalize officiating. If I hear one more time this Big Ten crew that's calling this, why is that the case? Why do we have a Big 12 crew here in a Big 12? How about we just have a nationalized crew? You know, the people that are in charge of officiating across the country, and our friend Dean Blandino does have a position within the NCAA, but the NCAA is powerless. They don't have the power to do what should be done. And whether it's Dean or it's Steve Shaw, who used to be in charge of the SEC, who's now really doing it for the playoffs. He's really in charge of the playoffs. But Shaw should be in charge of all officiating for all the conferences. And we shouldn't have this issue where any veil of impropriety can be thought about. We need to rid ourselves of that. And until we move that veil of impropriety, then people can question the integrity of the game anytime they want. I mean, anybody that would be in charge of a business that's this large would go out of its way to do everything it can to remove any doubt that integrity could be questioned. And yet in college football, we've not done that.
Tim Brando with us, Fox Sports, formerly with CBS, ESPN, SiriusXM, Raycom. You've seen him for years on college football, college basketball, and the NBA. Tim, you know, there was a lot of talk about strength of schedule, and you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt because now it looks like the SEC's down, right? And so, oh, the strength of schedule. There's also ESPN's football power index, which I don't even understand why. Like, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah. John, it is the worst invention since embrace debate programming started. I've oftentimes said this, in the middle of the afternoon, I'd rather see old videos of Gied and Denise Austin in leotards than watch the crap that we're watching on daytime cable sports television each week. I mean, I really believe that. And I think there'll be a lot of viewers for all that. It could even be the throwback shows themselves from the 80s. They'll go back to Debbie Drake and Jack LaLanne for all I care. All right, you can go that far back. But this stuff that has happened here with FPI, and this is another thing that really blows my mind. You know, everyone that is in charge of intercollegiate athletics, whether it's the presidents or the commissioners, they have other questions to talk about, well, we need to make sure that this and that is done with integrity and that we, and yet, okay, I'm all for, you know, gambling being legalized. I've got no problem with the company I work for being involved in it or ESPN's involvement in it. I really don't. I don't have a problem with any of that. I do have a problem when you have one media company that can provide metrics that they determine puts said schools from said locations into an advantageous position no matter what, okay? And that's what's happening here. You know, when we're in the latter stages of the season and Jim Phillips is on game day and he's trying to talk up the legitimacy of SMU and their 9-3 record and their wins over other teams that only had three losses within the conference, like a Duke and like a Louisville, he's slammed to the floor. It's like a body slam the moment he gets done when Nick Saban says, well, that really sounded okay and fine, and they had some really good quality losses, but where are the top 25 wins? John, what the hell was the difference, really, this year with the parity that we had in college football this season? What was the difference between a team that was a top 25 team or a team that was a top 40 team in a given week? Not much. Not much at all. And at the times that those games were played and SMU got those wins, they were huge victories for them. And yet, because they weren't Ole Miss, South Carolina, or Clemson, even, all right, in the ACC, they weren't legitimate. They're SMU. They were in the American not long ago. I mean, it's garbage. It's absolute garbage that they throw this stuff up there and then no one calls them on it. And then they go back to a system that they put in place and they paid for. But, yeah, they paid for it, which means they own it. And what it says is we don't care how good BYU, Iowa State, SMU, or any other school in an ACC or a Big 12, how they're performing. Oh, wait a minute. Dion's team does well with viewers, so we'll give him a better FPI, okay, because they have more people watching their games. That's what this is all about. And the viewing public in America, we're not that stupid. We know better. We just do. And it's so clear for so many people, and it alienates the fans around the country when it goes on. And I said this when we went from 4 to 12, that regardless of whether we went to 12 or we went to 4 with the system we had in place, we were still going to have corruption. And nothing as egregious as what happened with Florida State would take place because, you know, teams that are undefeated that win conference championships now are going to get in. But with 12 and as opposed to 4, more than one team's going to get screwed. Three or four might get screwed. And this year, I don't think you can look at what's transpired here and not say that BYU was absolutely screwed. That team absolutely deserved to be in the college football playoff the way they performed at the end of the year and the way they performed during the course of the year. And yet, going into the bowl game that they played, going into the opportunity that they had to play against Colorado, did you see, could you possibly watch a broadcast that was more tilted towards one team over another in the same
week? It was sick.
Than Colorado and BYU was?
It was sick.
Absolutely sick.
Yep. Tim Brando with us, Fox Sports. Tim, last question for you. I fear they're going to continue to talk, oh, there's too many teams in. Oh, we need more SEC teams in. You know, everybody's going to be pandering. I fear for that. But I hope if there is expansion, they treat it more like the NCAA tournament where they say, all right, we want to see these teams play it out. Get BYU on the field. I think if you expanded, we'd have better first-round games. I think if you contract, the haves and the have-nots, there's such a gap, you might have worse games. Like, what's your fear and what's your hope?
Well, there's no going back. For people saying, well, we really don't need, we have too many teams anyway. They need to go back to 8. No, but that's not going to happen, okay? First and foremost, listen, for all my criticism of what's taking place from a media standpoint, let me clarify something, okay? My fellow broadcasters that are calling these games, okay, they're not tilting one way or the other, at least not knowingly. All right? It's the way the game is produced and the way game is put together. The broadcaster himself doesn't necessarily control the direction of a broadcast. Okay, that decision is made above them. Okay, we've got this built and this built and this built about this player and that player and that player that have high Q ratings, and we're going to make sure that we milk it for all it's worth. That happens in our business all the time. So I'm not being critical of my broadcasting brethren. I have great respect for those guys, okay? But the reality is we're not going back. We're only going to get bigger. There will be 16 teams in, and we will eliminate the buys, which I think is a great thing, because the teams that got buys were at a disadvantage. I know it's a small sample size, but I think it's been proven the long wait for those teams, whether it was Boise State, I think Arizona State was affected by it too with their slow start. They got their mojo going, and Texas to some extent helped them a little bit with some turnovers and maybe just a little casual approach, which Texas has been prone to do. And Arizona State got their mojo, and Scataboo took over, and he made plays to the quarterback, and Scataboo made plays, and that got them back into the game. But for the most part, those teams that were getting buys did not perform at the same level as those teams that played a game. And by getting rid of that and going to 16, you have two things that happen. One, you have greater inventory, which, of course, with revenue sharing and the new 2026 TV deal that's going to happen, they got to have more money. They have to have more money. So where are they going to get it? They're going to get it from television. And even though ESPN paid an outlandish amount of money for it, let me remind everyone that deal has not yet been signed. We got room between now and 2026 for things to change. Okay, not only in terms of how many teams are playing, but whether or not that deal is actually going to be signed and one media company is going to have it all, that thing still, there's no ink saying the deal is done. It's been announced that it's done, but it's not done, okay? So, if you don't have enough room on your own platform to get all these games on because you're subleasing these games to Turner, then I'm going to suggest to you that ultimately they're still going to need more money, and are the overlords in Burbank going to continue to want to do that? Well, if they do, they will, and they'll have the first opportunity to do that. But if they don't, I still believe college football is so big, and it means so much to so many other people. It's great programming. Why not do it? I think that they will do it. And we need more. We should have more networks involved in this, just like the NFL blueprint. More people would talk about it. It would be even larger in scope than it is now. So I think the potential for that is there. So we're going to go to 16. And then after that, John, the other thing that's got to happen is we've got to make sure that we have real rules on what it takes to get in. Let's take the subjectivity out of it and say teams have to do this, 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 and this to qualify to be in. We don't need this nebulous this. We don't need these vague, the committee could do this, and the committee... No, we need to know what they have to do on the field to get in. We need more specifics on that, okay, so that when we get to 16, it's not just, oh, okay, well, that team in the Big Ten that needed to get in is in, and those three SEC teams that are bitching and moaning, they get in. No, that's not the way it should be. It shouldn't be about that. We're not going to give UNLV a chance just because Boise's already in.
Tim Brando, appreciate you. Fox Sports. Leave it here.